Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Lee Breschneider. I am one of your Quizmaster hosts, and I'm joined as usual by one Mr. Mark Davis.
Using that urban shorthand.
Usual.
Well, I guess it's not urban. It's probably...
I spell that U-J-E.
Yeah?
Usual.
I don't know how I'd spell it. I'd probably spell it U-J-E.
Did you ever try to make your own language when you were a kid?
No. I wasn't one of those weirdos. I know people that did that where they talk to their dog or whatever.
Yeah, and, man. Me or neither. Like their friends.
Knocking out the alphabet on a wall between them or whatever. No. I just spoke regular old what my parents spoke.
Good. Because here we are, keepers of facts and trivia. We need to keep sharp and not be off in fantasy land making up our own language and whatnot.
Like a bunch of weirdo loser kids.
This is me off script, by the way. I'm off script right now. I'm just
the phone is down.
Yeah,
we're just having a regular old conversation, ladies and gentlemen. Just a couple folks talking.
Yeah, let's talk about the list that we got put on this week on Discover Pod.
Yeah,
we were listed on a blog title. This is also off script, off memory. I believe it was five podcasts proven to make you a know-it-all or something along those lines.
Yeah, that will help make you a know-it-all or something like that. Yeah.
We're very appreciative. This is a Canadian blog. Thank you to Jill, the author of that blog post, for seeking
us
out.
No doubt understood the territories question. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, listener as well. Thanks for your support and mentioning us, and hopefully we continue to entertain you. You know, we also had a another review on iTunes this week.
Ooh. Real quick, you know, I know it's been said before, but you do a lot of the heavy lifting for this. I basically just come here and record with you, and you do everything else.
Yeah,
well, of which I'm very appreciative.
It's a lot of back end stuff, but yeah, of course, right. Love having you here, man. Of course.
Love being here. But when you you had posted about that list, and I was like, oh, is this someone you know? I was under the impression that this ended up being like a friend or a friend of a friend, completely out of the blue.
Yep. Yeah.
Just someone who found us. So thank you very much if you've been sharing the podcast or if you've rated it or anything. And that's why why ratings are so important, Lee.
Yeah, it really is. We've got one here. This is a new 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. It says, title is, I've never enjoyed feeling so dumb before No Nonsense.
All right.
5 stars. The username here is Old Mother L. Ron Hubbard.
Okay.
Which you know the L stands for, right? L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, I used to.
Ooh,
I know it was
man,
one of my questions.
Did I stump you? Yeah, I got this from you.
Leroy?
No. It's a character from the HBO series True Blood.
I never watched True Blood.
Lafayette.
Oh, man.
Also, there's probably a historical significance to that name that I'm not remembering right now.
Right.
Probably some kind of general or something. But anyways, El Nino. Old Mother L. Ron Hubbard writes, super entertaining and ... humbling.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they thought they were smart before.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. I'm a tattoo artist, and I've taken to listening to new episodes with my customers so we can play along. Every one of them so far have become instant fans. Keep up the good work.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
thank
they
you.
They are spreading the no-nonsense trivia love.
There you go. They're the veritable Johnny Appleseed.
Yes. Thank you, Old Mother L. Ron Hubbard. As we mentioned before, a lot of the Apple podcasts, interesting facts, there's a correlation here. About 75% of our listeners listen on through Apple Podcasts.
Okay.
And also 75% of our listeners are outside of our state of Florida. So I don't know if those are the same exact people, and we only have Android users here in Florida. We do things a little differently around
here. How many
of
those people use Castro?
Not very many, to be honest. Okay. We've given them a lot more play than they have us, to be quite frank.
The 0.003% of Cubans.
Yeah. So what we're getting at here is that ending up on blog lists like the one we mentioned, that is directly related to you giving us reviews. And because every review helps the algorithm push us up a little bit and offer us new exposure points. So be sure to do that if you're listening.
It's a big Viver Vendetta thing. They've got, you know, they do long division. They do that Pedmos thing, and they figure out some stuff and they come up with a number, and that number makes other things happen.
Yeah, if you've ever seen the episode of Black Mirror with Bryce Dallas Howard, and there's that social currency aspect of society, we are there. We're there right now, and like Bryce Dallas Howard, we need your help climbing that social ladder, getting those points.
And
so
if you don't help us, then we're gonna end up in some weird truck, fucking dump truck
with some
crazy woman drinking scotch out
of
a
real
bottle.
person
Yeah.
A real authentic person. Gross.
Gross. Gross. She'd easily be 1.3 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and get into our rundown this week, or our weekly wrap up. I mean,
our run DM down.
Rundown of the weekly wrap up. Monday at Three Pepper Burrito Company, it was the Wet Boys who absolutely killed it this week with 98 points. I believe that puts you back in the top 10 of the top 10 scores of all time.
Should I say something?
Sure.
Because I came in and they had lost the first round.
Oh, yeah. I noticed.
And then I came in beginning of the second round. What happened?
The score went up. Score went way up.
What happened in that third round?
Score went up even further.
Now, I'm not saying it's me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm not, because I don't, I know I didn't go in there knowing all the answers. I just think that the dynamic shifting that occurred, I just felt
you
want like
to take credit for that.
Things became a lot more even.
Yeah.
I can't.
And it should be noted, though, no moist men this week. So.
No moist men. And they actually said something to you to the effect of the there was a breakdown that you put on Facebook or Instagram, and they said the only reason they were able to run that score up and look so so strong is because the moist men weren't there.
Yeah, so open challenge on the Wet Boys right there. But yeah, we're starting to post the top scores of each of our trivia events on our Instagram. So if you want to check that out, especially for our local players, you can go on our Instagram and see that. Also on our Facebook. Wednesday night, the team known as Triple J took the top spot, earning 81 points. On Thursday, number three, a couple of our teams still had the Florida gubernatorial election on their minds. Our top team getting 79 points. I'm not saying Peanut the Dog is racist, but the racists think he's racist. They were in first place and second place with 74 points. Peanut the Dog hates Gillum. The actual team with Peanut the Dog coming in sixth place that night, Peanut the Dog and the Squeaky Chairs, they earned 57 points. And that wraps up my games. Mark, who took the victory over at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday?
We had a tight one last night, which is always good. The top three scores were 54 points, 56 points, and 59 points. The winning team was Florida's Red, I'm So Blue. If you didn't vote, well then fuck you. who pulled it off in the last round. They didn't win the first or second round, and they got a narrow victory by knowing the last question. Yeah,
it's cool to see.
Absolutely. That was actually Jamie and Aaron, two of the players that made up the super team that won the 4-year anniversary trivia.
Got some good trivia players here in this town.
Yeah, man. Good ones for sure.
Well, big congratulations to them, and thanks to all the teams that came out to play No Nonsense Trivia Live this past week in Southwest Florida. If you missed it, upcoming No Nonsense Trivia Challenges are happening on Monday, November 12th at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers, Florida. No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Books Edition, a new event November 13th at McIntosh Books and Paper. Wednesday, November 14th at Bury Me Brewing Company. And Thursday, November 15th, No Nonsense Trivia Challenge will be hosted by Mark Davis at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. And Mark, you'll be at Nice Guys on Wednesday this week as well, doing your trivia thing over there, right?
I absolutely will.
You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play. You can win prizes after every single round.
Join us.
Won't you?
You used to have that in there.
Yeah, I mean, we do it sometimes. I'm trying to free up from the script a little bit.
I like it. Cut the ties that bind.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Anything else we got to discuss before we get into round one?
I don't think so. I want to answer some questions.
Let's do it.
Welcome back. Caller, you're on the line.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you got any trivia questions for me.
Jesus Christ, this is terrible. Last night I was handing out trivia sheets and it was good. And I was handing out answer sheets, and of course there's some people that come knowing it's trivia.
Yeah.
And then you will come across the table of
randos.
Yeah. four or five friends that are just there to eat pizza and get grab a couple drinks, maybe an Uncle Rico or two. And then they're like, trivia. So I went to this table and I was like, do you guys want to do trivia? And this fucking girl almost knocked her drink over. She was so excited. She was like, trivia? And I was like, yeah.
An unexpected surprise.
Yeah. And she was totally into it every round. I was like, we do this every Wednesday. So hopefully comes back.
Pick up a new reg.
There you go.
Maybe they'll get their name on the podcast if they win.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As we do.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Before we get started, though, Patreon supporters, thanks again, of course. Oh, the mics.
The mics.
Our Rumble Snailed Skins, of course. Absolutely. Our proverbial light keepers, Max, Lucas, maybe Sean. We're working on that.
We're working on it.
And then our team captains.
Team captains, Kristen and Fletcher.
Yeah. I think that's everybody. Funny. Thank you, guys. If you want to support the podcast, if you have the opportunity, just find the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on patreon.com. You can also go to our website and click the support link in the top there. I'll take you right there.
Funny note about Fletcher and Kristen. Mm-hmm. Tim wrote in to tell me that it kept fucking with his head to hear us say Fletcher and Kristen because the story Mutiny on the Bounty, the main one of the main characters is named Fletcher Christian.
Whoa.
Yeah. The person who led the mutiny and stole the ship, that the person's name. And of course, because he's all boaty, he kept hearing it. He said he's a boatman. So it's very, I don't think
he's like four for four on the mentions now on the podcast. Let's just keep it going. Yeah, we're going to just mention Tim every and his boat building.
He's
company.
A talker.
Yeah.
So it helps.
Yeah. He's actually taken the time to write in.
Absolutely. All right. Let's go ahead and get started here.
I think to address Tim's complaint, though, we should just start calling them Catcher and Fiston.
Do you want a fist or catch?
I'm sorry about that. Oh boy.
Well, there's a thing.
Catcher and Fiston. All right.
Catcher in the fist. Your first question: which South Central state was the last to recognize Christmas as a legal holiday?
South Central.
South Central state.
Last to recognize Christmas as a holiday. You know, I kind of, I don't know why I suspect that it's Texas, because they're so othery. They're like, we don't do things the way that the rest of the country does it. And they're a rather late addition to the states, the United States. I'm not exactly certain of the year. But
have we talked about Texas being split up into four states?
No, I don't think so. At least not on the podcast. But
yeah, it's probably one of those things that'll never happen. But there was apparently like someone trying to break it up into four states, and they had names for them. Like I think like Houston, like wherever Houston is, like they just call that whole section Houston or whatever. But to break it up and the ramifications of that politically, if it happened, it's pretty interesting.
There's so many people that have so many different dogs in the fight. You know,
yeah, for sure.
In terms of
people
like
try to do the same thing with California, trying to break it up into three states.
I even saw some rumbling in this last election of I can't remember what media company it was, but the headline was Florida's problem is that it's actually five states. So I feel like this is just anytime you have a lot of different rural areas and city areas, people are going to start getting ideas.
Yeah.
But yeah, Texas is going to be my answer for this question.
That is incorrect. The correct answer is Oklahoma.
Yeah, I should have maybe explored that a little bit more. But I don't think there was anything that I thought about Oklahoma, but there was nothing that was like more so than Texas, you know?
Yeah.
So sorry for stereotyping Texas that way, I guess.
Hey, man, Texans. It happens.
Yeah. All right. It would help if I had a question ready for you, wouldn't it?
You know what would be a really...
I'm off script.
Help. Help. This is where you need a script, though.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here's my question. No one told them. This, sending this out to... we'll send this out to both the mics. This is another literature question.
They love the books.
Your favorite category.
Yeah.
The Mist, Here There Be Tigers, The Raft, and Survivor Type are all titles of short stories collected in the book Skeleton Crew, which is an anthology featuring the work of what author? I'll give you those short stories one more time. The Mist, Here There Be Tigers, The Raft, and Survivor Type.
Survivor Type is such a weird name. I just got a smartwatch, and it's telling me to do the torso twist because I've been inactive.
Go for it, man.
No, don't tell me how to run my life watch. You're just a watch. Read me text messages or whatever. I think I know this. Okay. Because my mom was a huge Stephen King fan. And I think she had this. They had like a bunch of short stories and weird stuff. She also had one called Monkey Shines. Mm-hmm. And like a weird, really weird cover. And I think
they
she
did
had
a How
this.
Did This Get Made episode about the movie Monkey Shines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did, where they talk about the monkey rights.
Yeah.
That's right. Actually, they just had the 200th anniversary or 200th episode where they went through and did like a bunch of clips from their favorite episodes. And
yeah, I saw that. I didn't listen yet.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah, yeah, I'll check that out.
So I'm going to say it's Stephen King.
That's right. That's cool. Right. And I was, as a young adult, I tore through some YA. Stephen King novels and Survivor Type. Yeah, the short story. This is actually a really good short story. It's basically a Robinson Crusoe type tale where a guy is shipwrecked and he keeps a journal and it's written from his journal entries. But he basically, as he's out hunting for food, fishing, he gets like, I can't remember what the exactly happens, but he gets injured and he loses his ability to hunt and starts starving. And then he just starts eating himself. Huh. And since it's written in this journal method, the writing style degrades as the story goes on. So it's a really fascinating piece of writing, and all the other stories in that, it's a great book. Skeleton Crew, couldn't recommend it more.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a little late, I guess, in the season. Maybe this would have been better pre-Halloween, but in my opinion, Stephen King is great year round.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all the seasons.
Yep.
All right. Here's your second question.
Okay.
What is the heaviest chemical element on the periodic table that has a one letter abbreviation? Some people study the periodic table of elements just by themselves. I think,
a leg up.
Yeah, I think Seth, nights. When we were doing the 4-year anniversary, mm-hmm. I think Seth had read the whole, like he tried to memorize the periodic table.
Yeah. The heaviest metal that has a one letter. This is a good question.
Thank you.
I like that.
Not heaviest metal, the heaviest chemical element.
Chemical element.
On the periodic table that has a one letter abbreviation.
Mm.
Do you know how many have one letter abbreviations?
No.
That's a tough one.
It is. If you're familiar with the period, I like it because it is also kind of a hint. It helps narrow it down if you are somewhat familiar, but I'm just a big old dummy when it comes to these. This is my fear, is that you ask me questions about presidential orders, countries that start with the letter N, and anything related to the periodic table. Yeah, we're in my nightmare zone right now. Write about this, Stephen King. Write about this moment, this feeling. All right.
Get a good 25 pages out of this.
Yeah. Let's see here.
My pores filled with sweat.
Heaviest chemical element.
My breathing started to steady.
I'm lost. I'm going to attempt right now to go into my dark place with no thread to guide me. Zero threads.
His eyelids are moving rapidly. His brow is furrowed. He's going into a trance-like state. Ladies and gentlemen, strap him down to the gurney.
Radon. Radon. Is it radon?
The correct answer is uranium.
Uranium.
Represented by a U.
Okay. Oh, good. I like that.
There you go.
That's good. That's strong. That's a strong
symbol.
That is
strong.
They were like, you know, strong symbol.
This motherfucker's just getting a U.
Yeah.
No U-R. It's like a... No U-N.
Horseshoe. Right
yeah.
there.
Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, good question. I like the way that it wasn't just one thing. It gave you a couple things to
I like
to go
those
on.
Where you have to know. Actually, I have another question that's kind of like that'll just give you as a gimme cuz I don't want to use it as one of my 3, but I'll throw it as
a
freebie.
No, we're taking it. No, I'm just kidding.
You want it now?
Yeah, give it to me. Wait. Which one? You were going to ask
the bonus.
Give me the bonus.
It may not feel like much of a question within a question, but for some people it was. What palindromic word is the name for a baby bat?
Whoa. Palindromic word is the name for a baby bat.
Couple teams did not know what a palindrome was.
Ooh, that's what I'm saying right here.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, then you're just kind of guessing fucking any word.
Cub? Is
you
it
don't
cub?
Know what...
Not palindromic.
I did have one team.
A bubby bat?
No. It's a pup.
Oh, Pup. Sky Puppies. I should have known. That's their meme name. Yeah. Bat's meme name is Sky Puppies, so that makes sense. A pup.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's your second question.
Okay.
A little history question for you. In April of 1981, so you're a Zoomer. Were you born in 81?
I'm actually a Zennial. I was born in 80.
I think you're a young Zoomer.
I think I'm a Zoomemial.
I'm a young Zennial, and you're a young Zoomer.
Okay.
With an Fine. X, by the way. Not Generation Z. That's right. A totally different Zoomer classification.
Right.
Anyway, 81. You were around?
80. I was 1 year old.
Okay. So think back to then.
All right. I'm working on it. I think I just shit myself.
The first space shuttle, Orbiter, was launched into space by NASA, going by what name? The first space shuttle.
Can you read it one more time?
Yeah. In April of 1981, the first space shuttle Orbiter was launched into space by NASA, going by what name?
I don't know. I remember I just saw a question somewhere that I was looking up questions to ask that mentioned Pioneer 10 as being something, the first thing to like be launched out of orbit or something. I don't know, something weird. So I'm gonna say Pioneer.
No. You wanna take any other guesses?
I mean, they're all fucking the same. Discovery, Challenger.
You know, it wasn't the Challenger.
No, that did not work out. that I do remember.
Different fact.
That was 86.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was one. That was what happened when I was one with the space shuttle.
That was one of those. I was in second grade watching TV, and we were all watching because Sally Ride was on. Or no, not Sally Ride. What was her name? Oh, ooh. Boy. Here we go.
Both stumped on this one.
It'll come to me. Someone screaming at their radio right now.
Sally Ride was the first woman, American woman,
yes,
to go into space.
And then Christine McAuliffe.
Ah.
She was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the teachers were like, yay, one of us.
Teacher solidarity.
One of us.
Yeah.
And we were all watching, and then it blew up, and we were all like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
This isn't...
One of the great failures.
This
the calendar
is not
explosion.
Happens.
I don't think we've even said what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
In
exploded.
Case you don't know.
O-rings,
yeah.
I think, was the...
But 5 years earlier, 1981, what was the name of it? It's not Pioneer. It's not Challenger.
You're just staring. I'm like Houston, we have a problem.
Accurate. Okay, at least you're on theme. I'm gonna give you the answer here.
Okay.
Columbia.
Oh,
Columbia was the first one. Yeah.
Okay.
That one I feel like sits
outside.
Sounds
familiar.
It sounds familiar, but it sits outside of the current conversation.
Yeah,
at least.
It really does. Well, there's so much going on with space.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Here's your last question. Which car company? Oh, actually, shit. I have too many questions. All right. I'm going to ask you this other one. In which sport would you perform an Adolf?
Can you give me the car question, please?
Okay.
The car company.
No. Which car?
Hold on. I'm just joking. You'll perform the Adolf in which sport?
Adolph. In which? Oh. It's actually an Olympic sport.
I'm glad that's a PH,
in which
not an F.
Olympic sport would you perform an Adolf?
You know, I asked an Olympic sport question this week, too.
Oh, yeah?
Actually, last night. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to give you mine.
Okay.
We'll think about it for a second.
All right.
What was the first Olympic sport that women were invited to compete in? That's yours. So I'll work on yours right now. What sport, Olympic sport,
mm-hmm,
would one perform the Adolf? I don't know why. I don't know why. I hope this is not like some like correlation of the Bellamy salute, but I keep wanting to say shot put because of the motion, the arm motion, and
okay,
I keep associating that with Hitler. But
interesting,
yeah,
interesting. All right, tell us more.
It's like the mustache. It's like the arm movement and the mustache. It's not the J. Jonah, and it's not the Charlie Chaplin, and it's
right,
not the
right
toothbrush. As much as we'd all love it to be associated with those,
yeah,
lovable characters.
Anybody but,
yeah. The Adolf. I don't know, man. Long jump. It was a long jump.
No, the correct answer, and this may surprise you that this is an Olympic event even. The correct answer is trampolining.
Huh. Okay.
It is an acrobatic Olympic sport.
Yeah.
And an Adolf is a 3.5 front twist. That is the name given to it.
Interesting. Is it named after somebody that invented the maneuver? Or?
I honestly don't. I didn't delve too deep into it because it's fucking trampolining. Mm-hmm. I was surprised to find out. I found it somewhere and I looked it up on Wikipedia. And then much to my surprise, did it say it's an Olympic sport? I was like, okay. And I mean, I guess it's just like every other acrobatic thing where you know, it's form and how gracefully you land and pop back up or whatever and do these twists and flips and shit and try and like land the landing and nail the landing or whatever.
It's such an interesting thing to focus on. Yeah. You know, as a young person, like trampolining is my thing.
It's really, really fun. I wish it was an Olympic event. It is. I'm just going to trampoline for the rest of my life then.
Well, at least the next 10 years. And yeah. Then I'll invest in real estate when I sell my gold medal.
I wonder if they always worry about falling off the side like I always did. It's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, back in our day, trampolines. Now you've got walls on all trampolines. Right, all trampolines enough. Come with walls. But back in the day, if you got too close to the side, those springs.
Well, I was just going to say.
Those springs.
They also
fuck
have
them.
The bib that goes over the springs. Those motherfuckers.
We did not
I've
have...
had some bad run-ins with those fucking yeah. things. Yeah, nowadays it's mm-hmm. Ultra protected.
Yeah. So my question to you, which Olympic sport was the first to invite women to compete in it? And I'll tell you, I was a little mean to my players because they asked if I could give the hint whether it was the Summer Olympics or Winter Olympics. And I told them they wouldn't, but the year was 1900 if they wanted to work backwards.
Jesus Christ. I'll say... volleyball.
Ooh, you're close.
Am I?
You're close. It's a net sport. It's tennis.
Tennis.
Tennis, yep.
That makes more sense. Yep.
Okay, so...
trampolining.
I do have an actual question, my okay. third actual question for you.
Hit me up. We're getting questioned. We don't have as much superfluous external content, so we can get a little loose with the questions.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a question about an architect. Who... did Vanity Fair call the most important architect in our age in the year 2010 and is known for his experimental style in designs such as the Guggenheim Museum in Barcelona, Spain, and the Walt Disney Concert Hall in Los Angeles?
Well, I'm not going to beat around the bush too much. I don't know much about architecture or architects, mm-hmm. but the one big name everybody knows is Frank Lloyd Wright, yeah. and that's who I'm going to say.
Okay. It is a Frank, but it is not Lloyd Wright.
Frank.
Dark Place.
Oh, you know what? I know. I now that you're
Ooh,
saying this.
Ooh, a little hint was all he needed. Let's see. Maybe.
I wouldn't hold out too long for me here. Frank.
So he's got a crazy. He doesn't have a consistent style. Like experimentation is his style.
Right.
Just doing the unexpected. These buildings are like.
I even want to say Frank Weber. I don't even know who the hell that is.
Mm-mm.
Who is it?
I don't know who Frank Weber up. Is.
Neither do I.
Is that the guy that invented the Weber grill?
Maybe. I'm Frank
it is,
Weber.
It is Frank Gehry. Frank
oh,
Gehry.
Oh, G-E-H-R-Y mm-hmm. or whatever. Yeah, yeah, okay. See, I know who he is, but
yeah, Canadian
I would
born,
never have gotten that.
Lives in America, though, now. I believe he's an American citizen. And he actually built, I think it's, the address is 8... It's in New York City. He built this building or designed this building, this glass building. And at the time when it was being constructed, Trump Tower was the tallest building in New York City. And Frank Gehry designed it to be 1 foot taller.
Got him.
Got him.
Got him. I asked you 3 questions, right?
Did you?
Okay. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you
I
did.
Asked you 3. I actually asked you 4.
You done did it.
And you're...
I'm good.
You're good. Let me ask you this one real quick then.
Okay, yeah.
Which car company did Christian von Koenigsegg found in
1994? Car company formed in 1994. What was his name?
Christian von Koenigsegg. K-O-E-N-I-G-S-E-G-G. EGG.
Hmm. Yeah, so this is like some kind of Swedish name of some sort. Of,
hmm.
IKEA doesn't make cars, do they?
Kia makes cars.
Yeah, that, I mean, that was my guess, but now you just said it, so I'm moving away from Kia. 1994. What was just coming out? Is it Isuzu? Is that a 90s brand? Isuzu? I remember seeing them and never really noticing them before, you know, until like that time period.
Mm-hmm.
I think that company's a little older though than the 90s. Man, this is a good question. It's not the smart car. It's not smart. I don't know. Fiat, I think, is older. And yeah. I guess I'm gonna go with Isuzu, since we're on a time limit here.
The correct answer is Koenigsegg.
I don't even know any of their cars.
It's like a supercar.
Oh, really?
It's like like super high. And it's funny because I actually saw Tommy Scott last night.
Yeah.
And he wasn't playing trivia, but he was there. And I asked him that question. I was like, would you know that? He goes, well, I know there's a car company called Koenigsegg. And I was like, yep.
Would you have gotten it then?
He didn't necessarily say, like, it must be Koenigsegg.
I'll have to look that up. I don't know anything about those cars.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Yeah, I was expecting maybe something I'd heard of before, but
yeah,
thanks for letting me stew on that.
I think it's funny because everybody hears the answer and they're like, Grumble was like right in front of me.
Right, you know? Right. Okay, so I think that wraps up our first round.
It certainly does.
Let's take a little break.
Let's take a little respite and then we'll come
maybe
back.
Maybe we'll nap.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe we can cuddle.
Rest our intelligence quadrants of our brain.
Indeed.
And then we'll
come back with more questions.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're back.
Hi.
Hello.
And we've got questions for you and for each other.
I have a question for you.
Ask me.
Yeah, this is a music question.
Okay.
So I'm gonna give you the hard version, and if I see you struggling, I might give you some hints.
Okay.
Looking for the name, the performance name of pop singer songwriter Elizabeth Woolridge Grant. What name is she better known by? Elizabeth Woolridge Grant.
Woolridge Grant.
She is a pop singer-songwriter.
I never dabbled too much in the into the Christian pop come pop pop.
Come scene. Pop pop. Come pop
come,
pop.
Come pop pop. Please. Come pop pop.
Anyways, what do you want to follow that with?
Anyways, what can you follow that with?
Yeah.
I just said come pop pop. Jesus Christ.
We're silly.
What did I say before? Pop pop. Oh, Christian. Christian pop. Come pop pop. That's terrible. Oh, my God.
This is whatever the opposite of the dark place is.
This is such a bright place. Anyways, thanks for coming to my TED Talk. I'm going to say Amy Grant because the last name is Grant. That's what I was trying to get at. Baby.
That's a good guess.
But it's wrong. But
it's,
I'm wrong.
It's wrong. So okay. I'm going to give you some songs.
Okay.
And it would be interesting to hear some Amy Grant versions of these songs.
Pop. All right, sorry.
The first song is called Video Games, and the second song is called Come Pop Pop. No, I'm just kidding. It's called Summertime Sadness.
Oh, Okay, video games, I was like, I know that song, but I can't remember who does it, but Summertime Sadness.
That's the obvious one.
That is the obvious one. That's Lana Del Rey?
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, the Grant is a throw-off there.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
Like I said, I had another team that suggested that.
Okay.
So you're not alone. You're not good, alone in the wrong answer.
I thought maybe it was more questioning your the deep knowledge of
Who Amy late Grant 80s is?
Yeah. Amy Grant, you know, because I don't know how popular of a name. Yeah.
That song was all the rage when I was 3 years old. A three-year-old Xennial.
Just like me, I'm sure that they adore you.
Listening on the radio.
Baby, baby. Yeah. She was, and apparently there was some kind of big, like, fallout because.
Stop for a minute.
Baby, I'm so glad you're my boop-boop. Boop-boop-boop. 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 And ever since the day you put my heart in motion, baby, I realize there's just no getting over you. And it goes really high. Yep. See, dude, I haven't heard that song in like 15, 20 years. Yeah. And I still fucking remember
that. That is how powerful and seductive and satanic pop music is.
That the last name Grant automatically brings me to that place. Okay.
That was
Lana
fun.
Del Rey.
That was fun.
Yeah, what a good jam that was. Yeah. I'll remember it forever. All right. Here is your first question of the second round.
Right, trivia questions.
Right. Yeah, here we go. The tranquilizer diazepam is better known by what trademarked name? The tranquilizer diazepam is better known by what trademarked name?
Diazepam?
Diazepam.
Diazepam.
P-A-M.
Hmm.
Like Pam from The Office.
Moons over my Pam, my Pammy. Also from The Office.
Come pop pop on my hammy.
Oh, no.
Pop pop pop, come on my hammy.
This fucking watch is going
crazy.
Is it telling you to torso twist again?
Come on, baby.
Tranquilizer. Hmm. Man, I don't know. I feel like I know this. I feel like this might be like an Einstein from Back to the Future style question. Ooh, for me.
What a good moment on the podcast last week.
Yeah. Diazepam. It is a tranquilizer. I don't know if I can, pull it though.
Oh, you can pull it.
Is the answer related to diazepam at all? Does it sound like it, or is there commonalities?
No.
No? Okay. So I got nothing to go on there.
You don't.
And elephant is not a brand name. Or horse, for that matter.
Correct.
Is it called, Garrison Keillor's voice? Is that the answer?
It is not.
Okay. I don't know. I'm writing a big old blank on this one.
The correct answer is Valium.
Valium. Interesting.
Diazepam.
They did a good job of making Valium sound like it came off the periodic table.
Right. Yeah. You know? It's like, oh, what's the
periodic table
for? Yeah. What's for Xanax?
Yeah. Good marketing. All right. I have a history question for you.
Give it
this
to
is considered
me.
Modern history, in case you're curious about the sub category.
Thank you.
Not contemporary history, modern. So we're actually
I cannot
going
wait until 2011 or 2011.
Whoa.
I can't wait till 7 years ago, until 2023 to see what your question branches look like.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be insane.
It's going to look like DNA structure.
You'll submit your answers in the form of thoughts through the thought matrix.
Yes.
All right. Question number two of our second round for you, man. In 1901, six separate British self-governing colonies gained their independence when they united to form the Federation of what? They were British colonies.
Okay.
All managed independently. And then they joined forces to gain their independence in 1901. The Federation of what? I know history is your favorite subject.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like geography is kind of a thing here too.
It's a little bit of a geography question.
And I'm terrible at geography.
This is you really need some teammates on this one, huh?
I do.
I'll tell you this. They're all adjacent to each other, all of the colonies.
No help. I'm going to say the Federation of...
It still exists today, by the way.
The Federation of Planets.
Right.
Right.
That's all we know about, us TV nerds, Star Trek nerds. The United Federation of Planets.
I'm going to say Micronesia.
No. All right. I don't know. It's a little bit bigger than that.
Okay.
In fact, it is also a continent. Australia. The Federation of Australia.
Really?
Is the answer. Yep.
I didn't even know that France owned them.
Britain.
Oh, you said... I thought you said France.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Fuck no. Nah. I would never say that about Australia.
Fuck them. Huh, the Federation of Australia.
1901.
New Zealand was in there too, or just Australia?
No, I think that's its own thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was like all under British rule and then they broke up after.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they just, you know, some colonizers went over there and they were like, all right, you six, divide it up and run it independently.
Perfect.
And then in 1901, they were like, fuck that. We're over here by ourselves.
All right, here is your second question.
Yeah.
In which state would you find the Petrified Forest National Park?
In what state?
Yes.
Petrified Forest National Park?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so there are some tall-ass trees on the other coast. Not like on our coast.
No.
So I'm going west in my brain for this answer. There's a lot of forests out there.
You're in Google Maps.
Uh-huh. I'm zooming in on California right now, that area, just starting on the coast. There are a great, great deal of sequoias in California. And I know that sequoias are prone to fires spreading. And it's actually healthy for sequoias to burn, I guess, because of their size. And I want to say that maybe that is what would be considered petrified, because I doubt that any of these trees are succumbing to the gaze of Medusa or some other magical form of petrification.
Petrification.
But California is not the only state over there that has trees. There are several other states. In fact, probably all of them have trees.
I'm going to venture to guess. Each one of them's got a tree in it.
Yeah, yeah.
At least one tree.
So I'm going north. I'm going up to Oregon. I'm going up to Washington State. A couple different choices. And let's see here. They got a shitload of trees over there in those, too. Yeah, but you know what? California has a lot of landmass, and I'm just going to use that.
This is what always happens with me with Texas. I'm like, it's just bigger, so there's a better chance of things.
That's exactly what I'm doing here. I'm going with California, even though I think the answer might be Washington or Oregon, but maybe I'll be surprised.
The correct answer is Arizona.
Arizona.
What a surprise.
A little further east. I went too far west.
Yeah, east and down.
Arizona is an interesting state.
Yeah, it is.
They have a xerophyte as their state flower, the cactus.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Very arid.
Yep. It's an arid wasteland. shout out to any of our Arizonian listeners. I don't know if we have any or not, but
yeah,
we'll check the metrics later.
Maybe we're just going to make that a tag.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag Arizona.
Arid, we'll just check Arizona.
It out. Arid. I wonder if everybody calls it that. That's clever.
What popular brand of snack food started as a side dish at a restaurant within Disneyland? Speaking of California.
Wow.
What popular brand of snack food started as a side dish inside a restaurant at Disneyland? Specifically, Frontierland.
What popular snack food?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it's a brand.
So now when you say a brand, so that's like the name of the thing, like
pick me up some blank with a capital letter at the front.
Futureland.
Frontierland.
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 Mm-hmm.
Snack food.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck is a snack food?
And Seth was the only one that got this right.
Really?
He knew this, and he told me it's because he learned it as a kid and thought that was fascinating. It paid off.
Yeah.
Sometimes those little bits of information.
I'll tell you.
They get asked. They get asked.
Snack food. Like popcorn?
It's a brand.
See, that's what's confusing me. Is it like a brand, like Xerox is a brand, and it's also a
thing? Exactly. Well, no. It's just a brand.
Exactly, but not.
No, well, I didn't. Yeah, it is like Xerox is a brand, but it's also a thing. No, this is not like a common term. It's a particular brand.
It's like Cracker Jack.
You're getting closer, but that's not the answer. Well, yeah, but yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
So it's like, it's the name of the food because it is the food. Snack food.
I should have made this my final question.
This is a really, really good question.
Thanks.
This is a really good question.
The subcategory is junk foods.
What
junk
is Frontierland? Was that like Westworld?
Yeah, kind of.
So I'm trying to think of something like...
You're on the right track here.
Southern-inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Like pork rinds. But see, that's not a fucking... That's not the name of a brand.
You're going to the right territory, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
In Frontierland.
Snack food. Western.
I don't want to give it to you too early because I feel like you're on the right track.
Yeah, Western... Inspired snack food brand. What is something like Pringles? Something like that. Like something that's... Pringles aren't really potato chips. I wonder if they count as something different. I'm not, just so everybody's clear, I'm not looking at Lee for like facial expressions. I'm just like
kind of going in my... He's not looking at me at all. He's staring off in the distance right now.
Kind of going in my deep place. So Pringles are like probably close enough to potato chips that it wouldn't be Pringles. Snack food brand is what's really fucking with my brain. Barbecue snack food. I feel like there should be something in my brain in that little depository, but there is nothing in there.
There is only emptiness.
There is but darkness, a spider web.
I go into my memory box. I open it up and inside, nothing.
There's a nothing. Moth flutters. I give up. I don't know.
Wow. You're so close. I guess you're just stalling out here, though, huh? I guess on it.
I mean, I'm going to
give you the name of the restaurant.
This is one of those questions that I would probably ask in the beginning of a round, so you had till the end of the round to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right.
Yeah, I think I did ask it at the beginning. But the restaurant, I'm going to give you one last hint. I think this is going to help. The restaurant was called Casa de Fritos.
Fritos.
No, it is a Fritos product, but it is...
Oh, Frito pie?
De Fritos Doritos. Doritos.
Oh! Mm-hmm.
So these were reject tortilla chips, and rather than throw them away, the distributor said, why don't you just serve them as side chips? And that's what they did, and they became so popular that Frito-Lay, who was managing the restaurant at the time, said, we need to do something with these bad boys. Get them on the shelves. Huh. And thus the Dorito was born.
That's amazing.
Thanks, man. I'm glad you like that question.
Yeah, that's a great question. All right, here is your last question for the second round.
Yeah.
The choreographer of the movie High School Musical also choreographed what popular mid-1980s movie?
So High School Musical was choreographed by a popular mid-1980s movie.
Yeah, mid to late 80s, we'll say.
Mid to late 80s. So I'm already thinking of Swayze versus Bacon here. We've got Dirty Dancing and we've got Flashdance. Two popular dance movies in the 80s. Were they the mid to late 80s? I think so. So I'm going to put those off to the side as potential answers. And I want to say Rocky Horror Picture Show was a little bit earlier. And that would be a weird crossover. Maybe not, though. High School Musical. See, I never saw it. Can't really speak on it and how well it conforms to some of these other movies.
Put them next to each other.
Right. But in my mind, also not very familiar with Dirty Dancing or Flashdance for that matter. But in my mind, I feel like Flashdance is more.
Did you
about,
ever see Footloose?
That's what I meant when I said Flashdance.
Oh,
I was thinking of Footloose. That's the Kevin Bacon one, right?
Oh, it is. Yeah.
What is Flashdance? Is that a movie?
You know what? I'm not. I you know,
is
I
that
barely
a pornographic
know
film?
Any of this.
Flashdance. What am I remembering?
It's
here?
A regular movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not pornographic, I don't think.
Okay.
They might show a titty or two, but I don't think it's like...
I got to refile that somewhere.
Download
that does
it on
not
YouTube.
Belong in my dirty mind folder. Flash
Take it
dance.
Out of the spank bank.
What are you doing
this
in there?
This is a bunch of people wearing spandex.
So Footloose is what I'm talking about. And that, if I recall, that has John Lithgow in it as well. And it is about a community's... Or no, that was Dirty Dancing. Shit.
Whoo boy.
It's all spaghetti in my head. It's all tangled up, all these dancing movies. I'm going to go with Footloose. I feel like that's more community dance oriented. High School Musical, big cast, I think big dance numbers. So I'm going to go with Footloose.
The correct answer is...
Even though you said it.
Dirty Dancing.
Oh, shit.
Gotcha.
Man, I think I'm 0-6 on this episode.
Nailed it.
That's okay. That's all right. Congratulations to any listeners that have performed better than me.
All of them.
Yeah. All right. So that's our six questions of round number two. We're going to take one more short break, and then we'll be back with our final questions as well as our new t-shirt winner.
Ooh-hoo.
We'll be right back. And we're back. Before we get started with our final questions, though, we want to say thank you to all of our listeners who have taken the time to share our podcast on social media and leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts. Thank you again, once again, to old mother L. Ron Hubbard for the wonderful review. It really helps us out a lot. Thanks for that. We're also on, besides Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, Castro, et cetera, et cetera.
Spotify's been good to us.
Spotify has been good to us. Spotify's, yeah, if you listen on Spotify, I don't think there's a review feature, but share it with your friends. You know,
yeah,
if you do share it, if you do share it on social media, we're going to enter you at least another week. I guess we're just going to keep going
fuck
on
it.
This t-shirt contest.
Lee?
Yeah.
If I may,
mm-hmm.
fuck it.
You may. You
okay.
may indeed. Yep.
Good.
You may fuck it. You may come pop pop as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So our winner this week is Tommy Scott.
Tommy
actually,
Scott.
Yeah. Who posted about him learning about the weird ice cream law in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. On our previous episode, we mentioned you cannot carry an ice cream cone in your back pocket in Kentucky. I feel like that is a missed opportunity for a cool Red Dead Redemption 2 mission because it does have to do with horse thievery, that law.
And, yeah, I have never played that game, the first nor the second, so I don't know.
I think just a slow foot chase with ice cream in your back pocket. Hey, get that ice cream out of your back pocket. And you're just like, you can try and catch me.
Out of my cold, dead yeah. pocket.
Really overdone voice acting in that game. But that's cool. It's cool. I like it. Anyways, back to our podcast. If you want to subscribe to our podcast, the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, on any of our platforms, just go to our website at nononsense.fireside.fm, and you can see a list of links right under the header there. Shows all of the platforms we're on.
And if I may be so bold,
yeah.
I think that's kind of a good way to do it and let people know about the podcast if you're into that, is if there is a fact that you think is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that maybe you learn and you want other people to know. Like, I've been meaning to make a post about the FedEx thing because I'm still blown away by the little arrow in there that I've missed for my whole life.
Right.
Letting people know that that's something you learned and maybe that you learned it from here, and that maybe is a good way to get the ball rolling, to get that conversation started.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
If you do it this week, you might win a free shirt.
There you go. You can win a free shirt. And I mean, you don't have to wear it if you don't want. You can do something else with it.
You work that mind and that body.
You can, yeah, absolutely. It's your body. You're free to do whatever what you want with it. But you could use it for rags. You could hang it up as a flag outside of your house.
Nah, it's
we
too comfy.
We would be sad. Yeah,
it's too
it is.
Comfy.
Oh,
it's
man.
The tri-blend, man.
Dude, it's the tri-blend. Yeah. Remember, that's 30% cotton, 30% polyester, 30% our human cells. We are scrubbed. We are scrubbed twice a month, bi-weekly, to get all the dead cells off of our skin.
And sewn together.
And then it's, that's melted into a 30%. It's kind of a last. It's got elasticity to it.
Yeah.
It smells kind of bad when they're melting it. It you know, it's kind of like dry heave territory.
It doesn't smell any worse than burnt hair.
No, no. I mean, it's it's just
within
like
the realm of bad smells that are acceptable.
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
but it's so comfortable. It's comfortable.
Maybe what we'll have to do is actually make a Patreon thing where we show people how that tri blend is made, because
that would be
a taller. I don't know if we could get access into that, because the scrubbing process leaves us very raw.
Very bloody. Very raw.
We've had to take a lot of time off from our personal life and work, because it's just, we're just basically like a pink. It's like a constant state. You know, when you like nick yourself, if you've ever been like making carrots and you're clean, you know, like skinning potatoes, and you hit your finger with that skinner a little bit, and it just takes a little bit off, and then there's just surface blood. That's our whole body when they scrub us.
Yeah, you can see pictures of this process on Rotten.com, by the way.
So please don't make it so that we endured this process. They shipped all this material off to get these shirts made, and if we don't get rid of any, then we did that for nothing, and it's a lot of pain. There's a lot of real tears.
The least you can do is enter to win one of these t-shirts on by posting about the No Nonsense Trivia podcast on your favorite social media platform.
Thank you.
Please and thank you.
We're almost in tears because we're reliving that nightmare. All right, here is your last question.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else to talk about, is there?
No.
We're just down to the wire here.
Right. If you want to write in, we didn't have any miscorrections or rate my questions this
week.
Which
means that we're both brilliant.
Just write into nononsensetrivia@gmail.com with any of those or other comments. But yeah, let me add that
G-M-A-L.
question. Let me add that question.
All right. Ruth Handler is credited with developing what toy in the middle of the last century? Ruth Handler is credited with developing what toy in the middle of the last century?
The middle of the last century. All right. Let's see here. So I'm going back to like around the 50s, which I was not around for those, but that's pretty much right there in the middle.
That is dead middle.
Mm-hmm. I guess if you want to get technical, would the middle would be 1950 to 1960, or would it be 1945 to 1955?
Well, just in the middle section. It's not early 1950s. It's not late 1950s. It's just like the middle of the century.
Yeah.
So somewhere in that middle section.
The perfect center is probably 1945 to 1955, right?
I mean,
50 to 60 is a little closer to.
Right.
I'm just trying to get really specific here. That's all.
Yeah,
you're
trying to get something out of me.
You know how I like to refine my categories.
I do,
you know?
I do.
So I'm thinking of toys such as the Slinky is one toy that was popular around then. I want to say maybe like the Easy Bake Oven could be the answer there. What was her name? Ruth?
Ruth Handler.
Ruth Handler.
Her middle name was Les. Wouldn't that be something? Ruthless Handler. Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Cabbage Patch Dolls, that's the 80s. And that was a cowboy. Wasn't a woman that made that up. Or that created those. Actually, did you know the Cabbage Patch Dolls were a ripoff toy?
I did not know that, I don't think.
I can't remember her name, but this lady in the South, like, basically made something very similar to Cabbage Patch Dolls, and this like wealthy toy guy who wears a cowboy hat.
I've
all
seen
the time.
A picture of that asshole. You clicked on that.
I clicked
that
on
was
it?
Like that was a clickbaity thing, and you clicked on it. Thank you.
What? When? This
had
to be years
ago.
There's
a thing on Facebook that keeps showing up on my Facebook. There's like, he made the Cabbage Patch Kid and didn't see a cent. And he was like wearing a cowboy hat. And I was like, I want to know about this guy, but I don't care enough to click it.
Oh, okay.
And you clicked it.
No, I actually think Vice did a profile on
Maybe it was Vice.
Yeah.
It was definitely something that showed up on my Facebook a number of times.
Yeah. So anyways, it's not the Cabbage Patch Dolls. Slinky, Easy Bake Oven. oh boy, oh boy, what am I? What else do we have? See, I don't know. It's not G.I. Joe. I guess I'm going to go with the Easy Bake Oven. I feel like that's right for some reason.
You don't feel like that's sexist at all?
No, not for that time period. I mean, yeah it is sexist, but I mean,
we're
talking about the 1950s here.
Hello. The correct answer is the Barbie doll.
Oh, really?
The Barbie doll.
Huh. That makes sense. I would have guessed that was a little earlier for some reason, but
1957, I think?
Post-World War II. Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, actually, the story apparently Ruth is Handler. That her daughter was playing with paper dolls, but was saying that her daughter always talked about the kids, like the dolls, being older. Like what was going to happen in the future, not what was happening now.
Wow. So
her daughter was, yeah, she had the foresight to be like, my daughter is playing with this paper doll, but not as herself, but her as like an older woman, like a 20-something year old or whatever.
Yeah.
So they went to, I think it was France, and her daughter found a doll that someone was playing with that was apparently more of like a gag gift, but it was like a female doll or whatever, and she loved it. So she had the idea, she came back, and she started developing it. And the actual Barbie doll, like, was modeled by some dude who was like a fucking, I don't know, like a some kind of scientist or some weird shit, like someone named Jack.
That's the thing. This is right in the age of the marketing revolution, basically. You know, there was like a period of time where you know, women had no interest in smoking cigarettes, and I believe it was Sigmund Freud's cousin or nephew or something who basically was in New York and you know, realized that he could appropriate some of these psychological tricks in order to get people to buy things. And he said, well, you know, we're only selling cigarettes to men, how are we going to get women to start buying cigarettes? So what they did was there was a parade coming up, and they had like a bunch of women in the parade, and they told them, okay, you're going to have some cigarettes strapped to your leg, and when we send our signal, you're all going to whip up your dress and then pull out your freedom stick. And you're gonna smoke your freedom stick and show your independence. And then they hired a bunch of photographers so that this would show up in the newspapers. And that's when women started smoking cigarettes. And it's all based on these psychological theories about what people want. It's very clever to be able to identify that, you know, for her to look at her daughter playing with those dolls and say, that's interesting. There's a psychological desire here on the part of my child that's not been capitalized upon.
Yeah.
You know, but that fits the time period exactly. So I'm not at all surprised. Good Absolutely. Question. Good Thanks. Question.
I appreciate it.
Here's one for you. I know you like current events. This is a very current event. We are hot off an election week here. We got a lot of new people in the Senate mostly in the House. First two Muslim women, I believe, in the House.
Mm-hmm.
We also have some other firsts that I'd like to talk about. These ones aren't getting that much attention,
okay,
but maybe you know it. Virginia picked up a new member of Congress this election named Denver Riggleman, whose Instagram reveals to be an author of erotica based on what mythological creature? So this is a new sitting member of Congress, and Denver Riggleman, he has an ad on his own Instagram showing his salacious book cover for erotica that's based on what mythological creature?
I saw this today. I saw this too.
Ain't that America? You and me. Ain't that America?
Something to see, baby.
What do we got? What mythological creature?
Fuck.
So you did see this.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
One team got this right, the Triple J at Bury Me, and it secured them the victory.
Oh, man. What kind of creature?
What mythological creature has David Riggleman, newly elected U.S. Congressman from Virginia?
I think...
He's written erotica about it. He's,
I think it's
Bigfoot. He's promoted it.
I remember someone that I know that's very politically minded posted it. Out of curiosity, is it a Republican or a Democrat? you know?
I believe he is a Republican.
They're always the weirdos.
They do enjoy their cryptozoology.
They do.
And sometimes their conspiracy theories as well.
I'm going to say Bigfoot. I remember seeing the cover of one of them, and all I can think of is seeing like a hairy guy. So I'm going to say Bigfoot.
That's correct.
Yes.
Bigfoot erotica.
Bigfoot
author
erotica.
/ U.S. Congressman Denver Riggleman.
That is all so perfect.
Oh, man. My if that's for sale, maybe we'll give that away as a book or as a prize next week instead of a t-shirt.
If it is not sold out, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Yep. As soon as that news article hit that he writes erotica. He said
he wrote it more as a joke.
Now,
it's a
on.
Humor piece, not a not authentically so this erotica.
This is about women having sex with Bigfoot?
It's about, I don't know if it's women, it's probably women specific. No, I think he does actually specify that it's women, and they find him, like, irresistibly attractive.
I'll
have to look it up.
I can totally see him doing a lot of, like, writing this stuff where he is Bigfoot. He's like, I'm an ugly man and no one wants to be with me, but in my fantasies, I am like Bigfoot, just misunderstood and misshapen. And I have hair all over my body. And then some woman who he's lucky enough to meet, and she's lucky enough to meet him. Some lucky woman finds him and sees how well endowed he is. I would kill to read. I wonder if there are any little clips from that book, because I would very, very much like to read that. If it goes into aching detail into like his, you know, his throbbing member. He slicked back the hair. Because he's gonna have hair on his dangus. He slicked back the hair on his dangus. Disgusting. Oh my Christ.
I can't find any excerpts right now. Let's see.
He would have to trim his penis. If his penis has hair on it. I guess he doesn't have to.
Two curious images from Riggleman's Instagram. One was a drawing of Bigfoot. A Bigfoot-like creature with its genitals obscured by a censored sign.
Oh,
the other showed Riggleman's face superimposed on a different Bigfoot drawing that also had its genitals.
Did I fucking call
centered.
It or what?
Mm-hmm. It later emerged that Riggleman, a distillery owner who formerly served as an Air Force intelligence officer, has authored two books about Bigfoot, including one titled "The Mating Habits of Bigfoot and Why Women Want Him."
That's amazing.
Riggleman told the USA Today that these books were parodies and have nothing to do with Bigfoot erotica. He also said the drawings were not porn, but a joke between friends. Oh my goodness.
Man, I am never running for shit. Everything you fucking do is totally put on.
Somebody owns a drawing that I made of the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, in a strip club getting a lap dance, and the Hulk thinking, how can Hulk be angry? So I'm definitely out.
Yeah. Lord knows what I've done. Lord knows what I've done in my time.
That was a random MegaCon attendee.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. This is going to be worth some other money. Yeah. You know that guy running for Senate, Lee Bretschneider?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the deal. I got a fucking picture he drew of.
Yeah. Check out this
the
huge
Hulk with a rage hard on, asking himself how he can be angry sitting in a strip club. What was the scale of the woman to Hulk?
She was standing on a stool. So he was
perfect.
Sitting normal, but she had to be elevated by
so
a stool.
So he's like 3-4 times that normal
size.
Yeah,
you know, just like in the comics, yeah.
Right. Well, yep. Sometimes, you know, depending on how angry he is, he gets bigger.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
so I didn't know.
He was massive. He was massive.
I bet he was. That is undoubtedly what she said.
All right. That wraps up our episode today, Mark. Thanks for joining me once again. Always
Lee, thanks
pleasure.
For having me.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone. We hope that you had fun, learned some new stuff. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Challenge. I'm sorry, Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support this podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, nononsense.fireside.fm, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. We have one episode of bonus content already up for your listening pleasure. Mark, you're the only one that liked that post, so I don't know if any of our other Patreon listeners listened to it yet, but there is a 45-minute long episode of me grilling Mark about horror movie trivia questions.
And there's nothing that brings me greater joy than hearing myself flail about and fail miserably at trying to answer questions that are outside of my wheelhouse.
Yeah, so check that out. And you can also write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And also, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia. Finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Please, please, there's so many listeners.
He actually has both hands around the mic stand as if he was begging you.
I'm begging you.
He is literally begging you, please.
Please leave us a review. It really helps us out so much. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners, don't forget to come on Pop.